Over the summer, it's slightly different. The children stay in with us, and we've got a special guest speaker today, all the way from Sweden. We've got Gunnel here from Sweden, and Gunnel lived just up the road for many, many years. Was a school teacher in a local school, when she finally had worked for many, many years, decided it was time to go back to Sweden. So has gone to live in Sweden, and now spends the year split between Sweden and here in London. So it's lovely to have Gunnel back. So give Gunnel a warm, warm welcome, please.
Let's be straight. God uses imperfect people. Aren't you lucky? Aren't you happy about that? He can't do anything with us if we feel complete. But he wants a couple of things. He wants somebody to be willing and available and to love him. Moses was willing and available, but he wasn't perfect. He had a stutter, apparently. Couldn't help that, but it was very hard to be called to speak to people for 40 years every day with such a stutter. God gave him a lift by telling him that his brother Aaron would help him. And I believe actually that Moses got healed in the end from his stutter. You don't hear about Moses speaking for him all the time in the end. As we heard, he had killed somebody, and that's quite a big thing, isn't it? For that, he was having to run into the desert and start to kind of listen in, be redeemed, and get close to God. So on came the day when God spoke to Moses to go back to Egypt. What was he going to do? He was going to take the Hebrews, or the Israelites, out of Egypt, away from slavery. But how on earth was he going to convince both his people and Pharaoh, the king, that this was going to actually happen? I mean, would you be able to gather all the Christians in Camden and tell them to come to Norway, to the land of oil and petrol? It's very hard to convince, isn't it, like that, when it's such a big thing. Even though they were in slavery and didn't have a good time, it was all they knew. They'd been in slavery there for close to 450 years. And how was he going to convince Pharaoh, as we heard in the play? It was a lovely, lovely piece, actually, that set out everything very, very clearly. So there were miraculous signs he could do with this very great, wonderful, long staff or rod. And God told him to just throw it down on the ground and it became a snake, as we know. Then we know that Moses was very obedient because God said, pick it up. And he did. Would you? It probably was a boa constrictor or a python if it was that long. It wasn't just a tiny little thing. Moses picked it up. The Israelites were quite convinced that this was a sign from God, but Pharaoh got very angry. And he said God had told Moses to say to Pharaoh that they were going out to the desert to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord. He got very angry. He called in magicians and sorcerers, and believe it or not, they could also turn a staff or a rod into snakes. The only thing was that Moses' snake just swallowed up all the other snakes and was just sitting there full up and happy. And that was the end of that. And the snake came up again and became a staff. A festival to God in the desert, the Pharaoh said, you silly tricks. And who is the Lord? And why should I obey him? And this is a very dangerous thing to say. Why should I obey him? Even for Pharaoh, who wasn't a sort of born-again Christian, I suppose. But it's not a good thing to say. So he drove the Israelites harder to work, more hours, faster, with less means, and they were just working so hard. And God began to speak to Moses about pressure. And he does that with us, actually, sometimes. He has to put a little pressure on us. But today, it's not so severe as it was then. We've got the Holy Spirit now. But Moses, God began to speak to Moses about plague number one. And he was going to use Moses, not Moses' power, because he didn't have much. But God and Moses spoke like you and I speak to each other. It was unbelievable, and probably why Moses had such feedback from all the hard work he did all those years, as we will see next week as well. It was a hard time, a challenging time for Moses, but he had the presence of God all the time, and that is something. And he had the glory of God as well, many times, which is even more powerful. So Moses was going to use his miraculous staff. He went down to the river and touched the river bank, the river Nile. He touched the river bank, and the whole of the Nile became dark red blood. And as we heard, it stank and all the fish died. Moses said again to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." But no way. He wasn't going to budge. So on comes the frogs. Again, he used his staff to touch the river Nile bank. And on came the frogs. Frogs everywhere. And actually, somebody said that frogs everywhere. I've had that experience a few years ago when I was out running at my brother's place, and there's a canal going along, and I ran there, and forest sort of on each side a bit. And there were so many frogs, you just had to run on them, and that was horrible, horrible sensation. There were frogs everywhere. Then Moses struck the dust, and there were gnats, swarms of gnats everywhere. And probably you get that on the heath, on the sunny sunrise. If you cycle there, which you shouldn't do anyway, but if you keep your mouth open there, you'll have a mouthful of gnats. But we also have to remember that the area of Goshen was spared, and Goshen was the place where the Israelites lived. And they were spared from these plagues, which made the Egyptians and Pharaoh start to doubt whether God wasn't with Moses after all. Hardness, hardness, hardness. Livestock dies, as we heard. What is livestock? It's goats and sheep and camels and chickens all died. Still, hardness. Now, if you had one boil, you'd probably have to go to the Royal Free and have it sorted out. But the next thing was that people's bodies got covered in boils. Oh, dear, oh, dear. It didn't soften Pharaoh. Hailstones coming down the size of ping pong balls, but much heavier. Moses said, "Humble yourself." And there was a slight softening, but he still needed locusts to come along and eat everything that grew on the ground and above the ground. Completely ate the ground bare. That's what locusts do. They come in their millions and just gnaw it all up. Pharaoh said now something interesting. He said, "I have sinned." He actually admitted, "I have sinned. Take those away. Take them away. I have sinned." So step number one for Pharaoh. Still hard though. Then there was the darkness, as we heard, for 3 days. Have you ever been in a pitch dark room? You might know the room very well, but there isn't the slightest stream of light, not even around the door or anything. And you just fumble around, and it's really, really disconcerting. I suppose it's like being totally blind. There were 3 days of darkness. Remember that Moses started every curse, every plague, and finished every plague with his staff, with God's power behind, of course. Then comes the big one. Pharaoh says, get out of my face. If you come here again, you will die, he said to Moses. It didn't deter Moses. He didn't take the blindest bit of notice about that, apparently. He was beginning to really trust God. Final judgment, the firstborn sons would perish. They would die. Remember, all through this, the Israelites are spared. Now God gave Moses strict instructions for all the Israelites to slaughter a perfect male lamb. This would be the first year of the first month in the Jewish calendar. And on the 14th day, this lamb would be slaughtered. They'd take hyssop, dip it in the blood, and smear it around the doorposts. That would be a sign for God that this door is left alone. The people inside are spared. No firstborn son will die there. This was to be called Passover, which is a big day in the Jewish calendar. That means that God passed over the blood-smeared doorposts. Get ready to go, said God. Barbecue lamb, make some bread, but without any yeast. Unleavened bread, because the dough takes hours to rise. There's no time for this any longer. Pharaoh summoned Moses. He was heartbroken. His firstborn son, his oldest son, had died. And he urged them to leave. He said, take your people and go. He couldn't stand anymore. Then he said something really interesting. He said, bless me first. Bless me before you go. He was beginning to realize that there was serious business with Moses. God also did something amazing, really. He softened the Egyptians to the point where they gave gold, silver, beautiful clothes in abundance to the Hebrews. So by the time they left, they were carrying riches with them. They were close to, I thought it was about 2 million leaving in the end, but I think it's closer to 3 million people. 450 years hurrying through the desert towards the Red Sea. Something very, very moving. Moses has got a beautiful urn containing the bones of Joseph. Remember Joseph with a beautiful multicolored dream coat? 450 years earlier, those bones or thereabout were put in a beautiful urn, and Moses himself carried the urn. Pharaoh suddenly stuck his neck out and thought, what have I done? These amazing people building up the whole of Egypt with fantastic buildings and sorting out the irrigation of the Nile, and now I've been such a fool, I've let them go. He changed his mind. Now the Israelites started to grumble, number one. They were to grumble even more over the years to Moses. But they said, have you brought us here to die? They were sort of getting close to the Red Sea now, in the desert. Were there no graves for us in Egypt? God speaks to Moses and his people. And he speaks to us today. And he says, do not be afraid. You will see deliverance. The Lord will fight for you. Just be still. Do you think we live in a wonderful world that is safe? He's saying, do not be afraid. You will see deliverance. You will see freedom. The Lord will fight for you. Just be still. He's saying that to you today, to us. Now they were right up by the Red Sea, and Moses raised his staff, and the water stood up on each side, 100 feet, 200 feet, right up in the air on each side. and 3 million people walk across on dry land to the other side. It took 2 days, the Bible says, 2 days and two nights. The Egyptians are following. The wheels are coming off their chariots. The Pharaoh sent his whole army after them. And 600 chariots with the wheels coming off. Can you imagine? They didn't have a lot of favor. And Moses, when the last person had crossed, came over on the other side. Moses raised his staff and the water came gushing back. The Bible says that not one Egyptian survived. So now Moses and Aaron and all the Israelites, this is the last thing. Now Moses and Aaron and all the Israelites start the journey towards the land of milk and honey, towards the land of Canaan. Bob and I decided it's the same as back to Israel, really, and the Palestine. And that's where the journey ends for today. Amen.
Gunnel, thank you. I think that Gunnel's just so clearly portrayed a very moving and very serious, really, encounter between God and humans. And I feel that it's kind of quite poignant, really, just to realize that God is a God who is powerful. God is a God who's incredibly powerful. And it's very important that I and that you respect God for who he is. And so we're just going to just close our eyes for a moment. I wonder if you'd join me just closing our eyes. And let's just, wherever you're up to with God, maybe for some of us here we don't know God. Some of us may feel that we've started a journey with God. Others of us aren't sure. But one thing I want to suggest today is that this God who Gunnel has been describing is a God who's not to be ignored. He's someone who's to be taken seriously. And Pharaoh was someone who didn't respond to God in a good way. And Moses was someone who did respond to God in a good way. And so this morning, just, it really puts the question in my heart and for each of us, is how am I going to respond to this God? How am I going to respond? Let's just be quiet for a moment. I'm going to ask the musicians if they will start just playing our final song, just quietly, while we're just thinking and just quiet for a moment. Fantastic. Now we're continuing our story in Moses. We're doing now a dramatic reading. So it's like the Bible, but brought with some dramatic emphasis, as it were. So those people who are speaking, if you could just pop to the front for a moment, that would be brilliant. So we've been, in fact, there's been auditions going on all week. It was very tight, I can tell you. A number of these things was very tight. But we've got the cream here. Sorry to disappoint you if you weren't phoned. I hope you can cope with that. But this is the cream. This is the best. These are the voices, the sort of BBC kind of voices. Those, you know, they're kind of deep. And so we've got here our different speaking parts. And the story so far, if you remember where we're up to with this, we're looking at the story of Moses. And last week we saw Moses was ran away to the desert because of the fact that he killed an Egyptian. So he buried the body hastily, but someone had seen him. He was found out, so he escaped. He ran into the desert to get out. He met God in the desert. And then God told him to come back into Egypt. So people are going to do this reading, this Bible reading today. And so over here we've got. Let's give Leonie a big hand. Now, she is not Mary from the Nativity, as some people have said. No, it's not Christmas quite yet. It's true, it's the same veil. It is true. It is true. But no, she is an Egyptian, obviously.
Obviously.
Martika, we have here. Give Martika a big round, please. Thank you. Now, Martika is the narrator, so she's the one that's going to hold the whole show together. So, hand-picked. Fantastic. Here we have Bob. Give Bob a big round, please. As you can see, he is weary. That's not just the stress of work. It is, in fact, the fact he's been wandering around the desert for a long time. And so here he is. Here he is, Moses himself. Very good. Now, we wanted someone of stature, someone who had a good voice, someone who had a presence for Pharaoh. Here he is, David Stern. We wanted two quality characters here for the Jews, the Hebrews. And so we've got Lily and we've got Jonathan. Give them a big round, please. Fantastic. So I'll hand over.
So Moses returned to Egypt to find things were unchanged.
I have to free my people. How can it be arranged? I'm sad to see my people endure their slavery. They each deserve their freedom for all their bravery.
Go to Pharaoh straight away. I might land by your side. If the king were not to go, we're off to the side.
So off I went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go!"
Predictably, I wasn't keen. Firmly, I said, "No!"
I must remind you of God's power. You're making a mistake. And to prove my very crucial point, I turned my staff into a snake. The Pharaoh wasn't much impressed by all my fancy tricks. He ordered all the slaves to make
double the amount of bricks.
So Moses went again to God.
It didn't go as planned.
Okay, said God. Then I will send some gnats to plague this land.
The gnats have got a vicious bite. We've all come out in spots. They even bite the sheep and cows and babies in their cots.
Pharaoh was still stubborn, defiant and strong-willed. So Moses tried another trick and the Nile with blood was filled.
This made all Egypt very sad with nothing else to drink. To make it worse, the land was filled with a terrible, awful stink.
Pharaoh was in some trouble now, but still, what would not give way, so Moses sent a plague of frogs to really make his day.
The frogs are getting everywhere. They're even in my bed. They cover every inch of ground. They squash them. You squash them as you tread.
But worse than this was yet to come, because when the frogs were dead, the stench of rotting bodies throughout the land did spread. Moses was warming to his task, and Pharaoh was getting sore. So Moses went to ask him,
"Shall I show you something more?"
"Go on then, do your worst. I'm not scared of you."
But secretly the Pharaoh was in a right pickle, an old stew. So Moses went to work once more, just as God had planned, and sent a plague of locusts to devastate the land.
The locusts ate up everything, fruit and wheat and rye. There's nothing left for us to eat. We are surely going to die.
The people begged their Pharaoh,
"Let the Hebrews go."
But in spite of everything, my answer is still no.
Things were getting desperate, so I went back to God. Pharaoh just won't change his mind. He needs a bigger prod.
"Don't despair yet, Moses. I've a trick left up my sleeve. When we put it into action, he's bound to let you leave."
So I waved my staff again, and sunny skies turned black. The thunder scared the people. It gave a mighty crack.
And then from out of heaven, hell began to rain, so nothing was left standing. Both man and beast were slain.
So I pleaded with this Moses, "Please stop the icy hail. I've never seen such destruction on such a massive scale."
So Moses asked the king again to set the Hebrews free.
Release them from their labour and life of misery.
You have plagued my kingdom and made my people cower, but still I will not let you go, despite God's mighty power.
You have seen what God can do, and still you don't believe. The next plague God brings to you will make your people grieve. Tomorrow night God will come, all your firstborn males will die. Not a single one of Egypt's sons will see the morning sky.
The following morning when they awoke, they found the dreadful truth, the flower of the Egypt's manhood cut down in their youth. The Pharaoh sent for Moses.
Pack all your things and leave. I doubted your God's power, but now I do believe.
The Hebrews left Egypt quickly, took all that they could find. They wanted to get out of there, but Pharaoh changed his mind.
The journey was not easy, the heat, the thirst, the sand, but we were so determined to reach the promised land.
We travelled fast for fear that we were going to be pursued, but we did not go hungry as God provided food.
We halted at the Red Sea, this cut off our retreat. We were really very worried, fearful of Pharaoh's deceit.
It soon became apparent that we were being chased. Then we feared our trust in God had been somewhat misplaced.
The mighty Egyptian army was not far behind, so Moses asked God once again.
What is in your mind?
Wave your staff across the sea and pray with all your heart. I will send a monstrous wind and the seas will surely part. The chariots will follow you across the ocean's bed, but I will bring the waves back down and they will all be dead.
The waves rolled back and Hebrews went across where Moses led. The chariots chased along the path where the Hebrews had just fled. Just as the tribe of Abraham reached the farthest shore, Moses raised his staff again. The wind, it ceased to roar.
The waters closed above their heads. It caused such disarray. The army tried to turn and flee, but were completely washed away.
Now all the Hebrew slaves were free. They scoured the desert sand for a place to call their own, with water and good land.
The end.
Give them a bow, please. Thank you. Johnny, come on out. The voice of God. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Brilliant. We're going to sing again. So if you'd stand, please. Stand with me. We're going to sing again. We're going to take our offering. Please, if you're visiting or you're new, please, there's no obligation. We're going to sing. We're going to sing this song we sung last week. David, tell us a little bit about this song that we're going to sing.
This song is called Bambulela, and it's a South African song, and it's from the Zulu tribe. Let's try. Bambulela.
Bambulela.
Okay, again.
Big welcome this morning if you're visiting. If it's your first time, welcome to New Life. It's lovely to see smiling faces. Wonderful warm day. Just a couple of things I wanted to mention. If you just grab a seat, please. A couple of things. Just after our time here this morning, about half an hour or so, when we finish, we wrap up here. We are going to a picnic on Hampstead Heath. It's about 10 minutes walk. It's not far, it's a short walk. And so if you'd like to come, you're very welcome. It's about 10 minutes walk from here by the bandstand on Parliament Hill. The great thing about there is a band that every Sunday, different bands come and play live music. So that's nice to be there. There's a cafe to buy some food if you haven't brought any food with you. And we love it to be able to sit and enjoy this afternoon in the sunshine. So if you'd like to come, then that would be fantastic. So it's after this morning's meeting. Bob, could you just have a minute? This is Bob. And if you're not sure where to go, if you could just see him at the end, then he will arrange getting there for you if you're not quite sure where it is. Fantastic. That's this week. The same next week. We're going to enjoy these summers. We're going to enjoy this lovely holiday, lovely sunny day. So looking at the forecast next week, it looks brilliant. Another good sunny day. So during August, we've got these sunny picnics where we're going to go and enjoy after church together, going to enjoy the picnic time. 2 weeks today, which is the 23rd, in the evening, Aaron's get baptized. Give us a wave, Aaron. Sorry to interrupt you. Thank you. Fantastic. Aaron became a Christian in Leeds last year. Come and God's worked powerfully in his life since then. And so it's very exciting to be able to have a baptism service. We'll be at Chalk Farm Baptist. We haven't got any water here. We've got a big pool of water at Chalk Farm Baptist Church. In your information sheet, there's a map of Chalk Farm and where it is. And so that's going to be in the evening, in addition to the morning time together in the evening. On the 23rd, we're going to celebrate a wonderful baptism. So please come. It'll be a great time, be great fun. We're going to really enjoy it together. We'll have a bit of food together. We're going to enjoy or celebrate really with Aaron this wonderful, all that God's done in his life. And so that's going to be on the 23rd. So looking forward to that because it's going to be really fun. Fantastic.
Hi. In the prayer meeting today, I was just reminded of, as a child, I had lots of pets, but one of them was a sparrow. Not many people have sparrows. And this little sparrow would come and sit on our chests when we were eating, and it realized that if it did that, it would get these little crumbs of bread and biscuits and cake. And, you know, it was the most amazing thing, but God was saying through that little picture that for us, he gives us little specks each day, little crumbs that help us, you know, in whatever we're going through. And we might not see those little crumbs. Sometimes it's done without us knowing. But yet he gives us little things to help us, to bolster us, just to get us through those difficult times, those things that we're going through. So God is amazing. You know, like that little sparrow, he gives us crumbs when we need it. Every single day, without asking, without knowing, but those crumbs are always given to us.
Fantastic, fantastic. Let's stand together, shall we? We're going to continue to sing. We've got to sing two more songs together. These are more songs of just loving God, enjoying God. And so as we sing these next two songs, if you feel, as Elaine was saying, if you feel that you'd like something from God today, let's open our hearts to him and say, God, just like this little picture that you've given to Elaine, could I have something from you in my heart today?
Elderly folks, do take a seat. And it's my mum that we're looking after at the moment particularly. And some of you have been around over the last couple of months when I've talked about my mum and the fact that she had a very bad accident, ended up in hospital. She's 94 and very frail now. And she couldn't go home because she wasn't well enough. So she went to a care home. And then we moved to a much nicer care home. This was as a result of much prayer because the care home she was in wasn't good. And she'd always wanted to go to a care home in a place called Cheddar in Somerset where a friend of hers had lived to the end of her life. And it was a beautiful place and she wanted to go there. And there wasn't a bed there and we thought she's never going to get in there because it's so beautiful and it's such a lovely place, you know. There's probably a huge waiting list. Well, God moved and she got a place in this care home, but it wasn't quite what she wanted. It was on the first floor in the old cottage, which was a beautiful room. But it wasn't really what she wanted. She wanted ground floor, she wanted a bigger room, and she wasn't very grateful. My mum's not a practicing Christian, although she's praying and beginning to talk to God more. But she's sort of not been a Christian most of her life. So anyway, she wasn't very grateful. We were really disappointed because we went to this beautiful room in this beautiful house and it was just lovely. It was just a beautiful place. And we've been really praying that she'll know what to do and whether she should go back to the flat. And she's just recently decided she can't go back to the flat. And we went 2 weeks ago and she said, you know, I've decided I love this room. And she said, I can manage the bathroom. And she said, I don't mind the small bed. I even don't mind the duvet. She's never in her life had a duvet quilt on her bed. And she said, I even like the duvet now. And she's so happy there. And she's just found a place of such peace in this room. And we keep praying she'll have peace and be really happy there. And she is. And I just want to say thank you to God for that. And thank you for everybody that's been praying for her.